IRS on the Road, value-based parenting and life balance ideas from world-traveling family coaches. Here's Richard and Linda Iyer.
Hello, and welcome again to IRS on the Road. We have a fun thing to talk about this week. It is something we are all kind of aware of, but we need to be more aware.
Yes, we're going to do week two of November, and where our focus, as those of you who listened last week know, is how to live the second half of life. And you can move into the second half whenever you're ready, folks, whether you are forced to or not. How to live the second half of life emotionally. And what we're talking about is, what do you want to feel more of? What is the goal in terms of feelings? And we don't usually set goals for our feelings, do we? We set goals for our achievements. We set goals maybe for our relationships, which might involve a lot of feelings. But to actually set goals that say, as we talked about last week, I want to learn how to feel more joy. I want to learn how to feel more love. I want to learn how to feel more peace. And I want to learn how to feel more beauty. We call those the four portals to the kind of mind and the kind of soul and the kind of spirit we want to have.
Well, you know, it is really interesting that we always want to be there, but as we go into the second half of life, and we're like the last fourth of life, I don't know where you are, but it really is something we need to think about, because it's easy to regret what we haven't done, or wish we were someplace else or doing something else, or wish we'd done more and so on. But I just think it is so good to just reflect on what we do have and where we are going.
And it's the perfect month to do this, honey, because it is the month of Thanksgiving. And we admitted last week that Thanksgiving is our favorite holiday. I mean, we send out Thanksgiving cards every year, and we think gratitude really is the key. It's like the magic. It's like the magic wand that if you wave it over your life, if you sprinkle the stardust of gratitude on everything you do, if you just make gratitude sort of a way of thinking, a paradigm, a way that you view the world, suddenly you gain entry to feeling more of the four things we talked about last week. Gratitude leads to more joy. Gratitude leads to more love. Gratitude leads toward more peace. And it certainly leads toward more beauty.
And I think it's especially important to think about gratitude in hard times. And when you're going through a hard thing, I'm sitting here with a knee that really hurts after a complete knee surgery, like 2.5 months ago. I'm 10 weeks into this thinking, okay, by now I thought I'd be running, but I am not running. I am walking okay, but my knee is still swollen up. I'm still putting ice packs on it. I'm still aware of it every step. Well, how can I be grateful for that? Well, I can go upstairs better than I have for a couple of years. Downstairs is miserable, but it's going to get better.
Well, and when I walk behind you in an airport, you're walking straight and true to now, which
straighter.
You weren't before.
But I'm grateful for physical therapists who helped me through this and said, you know, this just be patient. This is going to happen and so on. I'm grateful that I didn't have to drag that knee around for the rest of my life because it was really gruesome. But you have to go through a lot of hard stuff to get to the other side.
And so we have a real, very direct message and challenge for you today on the podcast. And we want you to put it in the context of the goal of living the second half in a more emotionally powerful way, where we feel more of the things we want to feel.
And even when you're going through hard times, even though
yes,
difficult things, and maybe more so because of that.
And the whole idea of the podcast today is to sort of expand how magical real conscious gratitude is. And we're going to be challenging you to do, as you approach Thanksgiving, to do a really powerful thing, both with yourself and, depending on your family situation, with your family, to make yourself more aware of the real gratitude in your life, because it will lead to these things we want to feel more of. And the best way to maybe say that is to just read you a little from a book we did on gratitude not long ago that'll really sort of tie this up in your mind.
Most people acknowledge the connection between thankfulness and happiness. We take it a step further. Gratitude is more than a path to happiness. Gratitude is happiness in its most obtainable form.
Almost 40 years ago, we decided to stop sending Christmas cards and start sending Thanksgiving cards instead.
We mentioned that last time, yeah.
We felt that thankfulness was the best way to appreciate the year past and the perfect entree to the Christmas season.
As we raised our children, we tried to show them the magic and the joy of gratitude. And one of our methods was keeping gratitude journals. We would start off each year determined to make a journal entry every day. But as the year went on, we became less diligent on the specific daily thankfulness. That's the way it always goes, right? When we discovered that by focusing on a different type of gratitude each month, we're able to stay with it and find a fresh thankfulness entry each day for our journals.
Now, we incorporated that idea into this little book that we're now reading from, and we hope that each month during this coming year, you will find a new awareness of the blessings and record them in a journal. So that was the kind of the introduction to this book. And then we wrote a little poem to sort of start off November. So it's just really germane to what we're talking about right now. We hope you feel this the way we did.
This is a poem from the mind of Richard Iyer. I have to say he's
But you were my muse.
Oh, of course. Okay. There are certain perfect late autumn days that lead themselves to reflection and remembering. The certainty of winter induces fond recall of longer, warmer days, and the sky spreads light wide like a mackerel memory. Its bright scales revealing the needs of the reeds of past deeds. The peace of earlier release as we approach the holiday that is named after the synonym for happiness. To build up should be about remembering. The year now winding down, we look back and recall how much has been given us and how little we deserve it.
That's where we want our minds to go. Remembering may be the precise opposite of taking for granted. Some say that remembering is the consummate skill. When we remember, we don't have to learn the same facts or the same lessons or the same abilities all over again. When we remember, we return favors and we thank people for small things. When we remember, it makes God bigger and ourselves comfortably, securely smaller.
When we remember moments of joy, the moments are twice felt. When we remember error, we're less likely to repeat it. When we remember love, it's nourished and grows. When we remember peace, we also remember where to find it.
You can see that we're encouraging you as we read this little poem to that remembering is the key to gratitude. And it's the opposite of taking things for granted. When we remember gratitude, it overflows, leaving us warmed and filled. We nurture and care for our gratitude by remembering, negotiating the curbs and trips of take for granted that could spill the beauty from the buggy.
There are more ways to remember to be grateful, the best one being prayer. Prayer oftener, and give equal content, weight to prayers, two sides, thanking and asking.
Remembering is both a bridge and a mirror, showing us where and who we are and who we have become. These are good things to think about as this year winds down and as the grace of Christmas ramps up.
You know, I used to have a rock that was engraved with the word remember. I gave it to a good friend, and I'm kind of sad because I think that's something that you have to do every day, even in the midst of all this craziness of life, just daily life, just remembering so many things, the goodness that you have in your life, remembering the people that you love in your life. I mean, it really is important. That's a great word.
Now think about how in a way bold and maybe almost presumptuous it is of us to say this, but the whole premise here is that, you know, it goes much further than most people who start a gratitude journal do it, because they say, well, if I'm more aware of what I'm thankful for, it'll make me feel happier. In other words, gratitude is sort of one of the paths that leads up to happiness or joy. But we're going a step further. We're actually saying it's not just a path. It is a synonym. Gratitude is happiness. When you are grateful, you are happy. When you remember things that you're grateful for, you do begin to feel more joy, more love, and more peace, and more beauty. And so this is the challenge that we want to give you, and we're going to put it in an interesting form.
As Thanksgiving approaches, start a list of thankful things, big and small. Number it. List at least 10 every day. Like number one, sunsets, doorknobs. I wouldn't have thought of that, but a mother's love, et cetera, et cetera. All those things. But what would we do really without doorknobs? It's just, it's really quite astonishing how useful they are.
Well, your list may range from the petty to the profound. On Thanksgiving morning, while the turkey cooks, build the list. Get everyone involved. See if you can get it to 100 or 200 or 500. Think for at least a fleeting moment about each one. Really think. Why are you happy to have it? Why is it a joy? Why is it a blessing? Why is it something you love? Let each tiny twinge of gratitude collect in your list to help you remember. So again, the idea of a gratitude journal and the idea of starting one in November is nothing new. In fact, this book of ours, this is a gratitude journal called Daily Thanks that we're reading from. And would it surprise you to know that it sells more copies in November than in the other 11 months of the year combined?
Right.
Because that's when Thanksgiving is coming.
Well, the interesting thing about this little book, and actually we don't really take credit for it. We had written another one with a lot of our Thanksgiving cards in it and how important gratitude was. But it was really amazing because they took this good idea and somebody did a great job of putting beautiful pictures in, but taking these things one month at a time. As you start in November, and there are different challenges every month, but there are lines that you could fill in, and some people love that. I remember we bought something similar to that for some of our sons and daughters and in-laws, and I remember one of my daughters saying, "My husband is going to do that. He just does that." I mean, some people just love filling things in like that and remembering and doing things. But others are not so much. But it really is interesting to think, especially starting at these Thanksgiving month, of itemizing the things that you're grateful for.
So we're going to take a little break, and when we're going to come back, be warned, we're going to get even more specific about how we think you, between now and Thanksgiving, which is a matter of a couple of weeks as we record this, how you can actually make it last this time, and how you can start a precedent in November that'll carry you through the whole coming year and cause you to feel more gratitude, which again, we think is the single greatest key to the challenge of wanting to live the second half of your life in a way where you feel more joy, more love, more peace, and more beauty.
So hang on, we'll be right back.
Welcome back to Iyer's on the Road. Here's Richard and Linda Iyer.
And we're back. This always gives us a lot to think about. We hope we've stimulated some of your thinking in your own life with your own families and your own situation, because it's so important to think about that at this time of year, especially.
So let us use our experience in our family as kind of a, not a model, not something you should try to copy, but as an illustration of how this idea of gratitude and doing it more consciously and more deliberately has grown within our family. And we mentioned last week briefly that it first started when we were just trying to revamp our Thanksgiving traditions, and we didn't want to just watch football all day and eat way too much. We wanted to do something that had that connection to thankfulness. And so we started making these long lists on long paper rolls of everything we were grateful for. And we do it all morning because the turkey's cooking and people are gathering and people are coming in and cousins come in and, hey, sit down and help us make this thankful list and so on. And it really has become a wonderful tradition, but we want to say how we've gone even beyond that now.
Yeah, but also there are some people that just have six people for Thanksgiving. It's just all adults, you know.
Yeah, well,
so we realize that every family configuration is different. I just sat down to figure at ours this morning. We'll have 32 people. Maybe 33, depending on, we always invite some people who need to be with a family that aren't there with their families. But anyway, it's always fun, but we realize your configuration may be totally different. You may be just living with the spouse and just going, having a very small group. But anyway, hopefully this will apply no matter what kind of family you have.
Well, and the idea is, it's not, sometimes I worry about in our own family, like, oh, we got to 1,000 last year. Let's break our record.
And 1,000 what?
Things on the thankful list.
Oh.
You know, but instead, it's not about quantity, it's about quality. And it's about, can you pause for a minute, for a little time after each thing is mentioned, and really, really deliberately say, I really am grateful for that. I would feel such a loss if I didn't have that, and just kind of let it soak, let it filter in for a minute so you really feel it.
Remember one year we just had about 10 or 12? It was really kind of nice.
You mean people?
People
who are,
at Thanksgiving dinner, and a lot of them were adults. And so we are adults that could write. So we had everybody just make a list of 10 things they were grateful for that was unusual, things that
that other people wouldn't think of. Yeah.
And then we went around and shared it. But if we matched with somebody, you had to mark that off.
Yeah, you couldn't count it if someone else had it on their list.
Right. And so,
we were all trying to come up with new ones,
most
unique
imaginative
ones.
Things that we're grateful for, and we came up with some. Everyone came up with really unusual things.
Yeah, one of the youngest kids who was there actually won. Eight of her 10. No one else had listed them.
It takes a child to do that.
It takes a child to think of that. But so there's all these variations on it, and so on. But again, reminding you of the thesis here. The theory is that gratitude really is happiness. And in those moments, not when you just write something on a paper or you think of another thing to list, but when you think, I am thankful for this. And of course, when there's a subject and an object of the thanks, I mean, if it's just an academic exercise listing the things you're grateful for, that's one thing. But if in your mind you are actually saying thank you to the person who gave you that gift, and in many cases it is another person, it's your mother, it's your father, it's your sister, it's your friend, you're thankful to them, and in your mind you say thank you to that person, most of them on the list, what you're doing is in your own mind you're saying thank you to God who gave me these things.
Right.
However you as a person perceive God or perceive the universe or perceive where the blessings come from, to actually have a subject and an object, someone you're thanking for it, gives it a new dimension and makes it real gratitude. It's not just the theory of gratitude, it is the offering of gratitude as you say thank you, even in your own mind or in your prayer or in sometimes these thankful lists precipitate a thankful note to someone who you haven't thanked,
right,
or a prayer to God. So keep in mind the subject and the object.
Well, and there's so many different ways to express thanks, not having a big dinner, Thanksgiving dinner, but how about just a thank you note every morning for 2 weeks or however long you want to do it, just to somebody who's made a difference in your life, just out of the blue. It really is interesting to think there are, I mean, a teacher that was really, if they're still around, that was really important to you, whether it was a school or a church, those little messages mean more than is imaginable. Every once in a while, we get a little sweet thank you note and think, oh, I forgot all about that. That is so sweet for them to take the time to do that. I do think that just spending time thinking about people who have been good to you or have contributed to your life and thanking them for it is important for both parties.
It says in 2 Corinthians 4 and 15, it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Wow. Or if you want a secular one, Nietzsche said, the essence of all beautiful art, all great art, is gratitude.
I love
Think about that. The nature of all, until you appreciate and feel gratitude, there's no art. There's no expression.
Right, right. We have a beautiful painting right now that we're looking at that's a beautiful mountain scene, gorgeous mountains. And I have looked at that really often, and when we have a situation where we can change the art, but I just noticed yesterday there's three tiny little people sitting on the top of one of those mountains that I've looked at it every day for 3 weeks.
And there was a gratitude.
And I had never seen that. How beautiful to think about those three little people look at it, that massive scene. I mean, they're just little things that you can be grateful for that can just give you a little joy.
G.K. Chesterton, who we love to quote, said, when we were children, we were grateful for those who filled our stockings at Christmas time. Why are we not grateful to God for filling our stockings with legs?
I love G.K. Chesterton. Oh my gosh, what's the wonderful quote that he did about angels? Do you remember?
Oh, the reason the angels can take themselves, the reason the angels can fly is they have learned to take themselves lightly.
He just has a
great. Or how about Huxley, who said, most human beings have an almost infinite capacity for taking things for granted. That's the direct opposite of gratitude, the direct opposite of what we're striving for this month, right?
Absolutely. There's so many people who can tersely put things what you think in their words, which just stirs you. It's amazing.
Well, and again, bringing you back to the premise here, and by the way, here's one by Khalil Gibran. Wake at dawn with a winged heart and give thanks for another day of loving.
Wow, how often do we do that? Well, you know, we try. I try to think about who to love, but wow, it is just really a moving thing. It's a thing that can make you so much happier if you're aware of your blessings and express gratitude.
How about Henry Ward Beecher? The unthankful heart discovers no mercies, but let the thankful heart sweep through the day, and as the magnet finds the iron, so it will find in every hour some heavenly blessing.
Oh, I love that. It's really true. How aware are we of our beautiful blessings? Even in through hard times, we really have so much to be grateful for.
So, in our own way, I think we've hit a new level this year, dear. And you mentioned it briefly last week that one of our daughters said started early, I think before November, toward the end of October, said, let's just start this WhatsApp group and circulate it only among our family. And let's see if by Thanksgiving we have 1,000 really heartfelt little points of gratitude. So it just keeps circulating. We're almost up to 700 now. We're clearly going to go over 1,000 by Thanksgiving. None of them are trivial. I was reading through it the other night. None of them are, oh, I'm thankful for, that I woke up this morning. I mean, not that that would be trivial, but they're all, someone is thinking about these things, and they might just add one, or they might add two, or they might add one, and it might make him think of another one. And there, I just think it's a remarkable thing what it's doing for our family as far as just awareness of blessings.
So I'm sitting here thinking though about families that are different than we are, with huge families. There are, little families. There are people who are living far away from their families. There are
People who are alone for
people who are
Thanksgiving.
alone and or have shattered families. There's so many who are really so saddened because their family is not cohesive.
But just not to interrupt your thought, but someone perfectly on that point, someone said to me, I am basically by myself this Thanksgiving, and instead of a thankful list, I'm going to write a little thank you note. You mentioned that earlier. Every day I'm going to just think of one thing I'm thankful to someone for and send them a little note. I think that's going to magnify his gratitude.
I have a family member who's dear to me who's having a horrible time with a divorce with her daughter. And it is so disturbing. I just had breakfast with her yesterday because they've shattered it's so much of their life is shattered. This sweet daughter has just really been dragged through the mud. And there's so many situations like that. And sometimes it's hard to sit and think about what you could be grateful for when you're going through hard times with a family member. There are so many things that you can still be grateful for, but there are times that are really hard. And I think there's nothing better to get yourself out of the trenches than thinking about what you are grateful for. And sending messages, even maybe to people that you don't like or who have caused havoc in the family, some kind of conciliatory thing or something that will draw your family closer together during this Thanksgiving time.
We went to a funeral not long ago, and I'll never forget one of the children of the person who had died said, I would describe my dad, if I had to describe him in one word, he was a grateful man. And I thought, wow, if one of the legacies, if a deliberate part of our character that we decided to create within ourselves was a sense of gratitude that we grew over the course of our lifetime, that developed and became even deeper. What a eulogy that is, that someone was because when you're thinking gratitude, you're not thinking of yourself, you're thinking of others, you're thinking of things, you're thinking of blessings, you're thinking high thoughts. And you're moving away from taking anything for granted. And so again, in context, how to live the second half of life emotionally, how to feel more joy, love, peace, and beauty. And our challenge to you for this week is just understand and realize and acknowledge that the more grateful you are and the more ways you find to express that gratitude, the more of all four of those desired feelings you will have.
So, we leave you with the challenge to be more grateful in your own way this week.
And lead up to Thanksgiving with some kind of a thankful list or a thankful pattern or whatever you can come up with that actually writes down and acknowledges your gratitude.
So, we're grateful for you. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope that we've given you something to think about, and we'll see you again next time on the road.
One more time before Thanksgiving.
Bye-bye.